From Yar News in Washington, I'm causing the huge explosion that ripped seats in the National Assembly, but not as many as is hoped. And in December, 8 of them were given to the people found in the debris of the Indian child.
I think, frankly not.
A court official in Sri Lanka swept from his mother's arms said today that DNA tests will find PR News in Washington.
A 1, 2, 3, follow.
Leave it to
the Soul Genius Hour of Swatch.
Well, isn't that something?
What do you mean?
If anyone gets any answers, it'll be the psychiatrist.
Oh, that's terrible.
Yes.
Yes?
And no.
Huh? Are you trying to give me the double talk?
Yes. I'm sorry.
Six years I've been hiding, searching, sulking, on the run, looking for the one they call Dobbs. The voices in my head. 6 years I've been on the run. Only I bear the secret of the subgenius, and I must wring the last drop of blood from the bloodless one before I may proceed. This planet is Mars. 1998 has come and gone. And soon, you'll know it too.
J.R. Dobbs. Bob Dobbs, J.R. Bob Dobbs, was on the number one list of frauds and phonies for Time magazine, and I didn't know who he was.
Exactly.
And J.R. Bob Dobbs is the creator of the Church of the Subgenius. This guy, the Reverend Ivan Stang, is one of their...
Disciples.
Yeah. All right. You know, it's funny. I don't think Jesus had a disciple named Dopey.
Or Bob.
A Rolling Stone gathers no moss.
The brown pope is moving again. His fundament is expelling the dirt that will fertilize the minds of the believers. Yes. The new believers for the new pope, the brown pope. Not exactly the anti-pope, but the somewhat against proper pope. He's one who ushers in the beast of Revelation. You see, the Antichrist is the one character, but then you have the beast. These are distinguished from each other in Revelation, don't you see?
Now, what are some of the characteristics of the beast? Four quarters, four crowns, and a carrot, perhaps?
The beast,
divided eyeball socket?
The beast which riseth from the sea has five tentacles, although that was for budget.
I was misread that.
They really didn't have time to put in eight tentacles, so they kept him partially underwater. That only five tentacles of the beast. And these are the five tentacles, not to be confused with the ten horns, which is actually the ten countries heading the European Union,
which is also
economic communism.
What we call the underlings, the tin horn sheriffs.
Right, the tin horn dictators and the tin horn dictator, known as the beast.
No, they have
the anti-Bob, they call him. Number 333, let he who has wisdom know that it is the number of a man, and the number is 300. Three tens and three.
Oh, my. Dobbs in Cleveland. That's remarkable that there's an actual number for J.R. Dobbs. There's an
The number of J.R. Bob Dobbs is 999.
Okay.
909 billion and nine.
Okay.
Is the mark of the Bob. Which, by the way, 2 times 999 equals 1998. 3 times 666 equals 1998.
Wow.
And 6 times 333 equals 1998. Now, by these stripes, we know that 1998 does not come yet. Because I don't know about you, but I am a pre-98-alist. In the Church of the Subgenius denominational schedule, I'm a pre-98-alist. I believe that it is not yet 1998 and that the conspiracy has been screwing with our calendars, screwing with our heads. They've been pooing.
Really?
down our brain holes, so to speak, with false numbers, false measurements. The days seem long enough to you? Nay.
They are not never long enough, and they grow shorter by each common instant. And at the same time, these stripes that we know them by, do they mean that all each and every one shall have 10 nipples and 10 breasts?
What happened? What happened? How did they take these hours from us? And it's not just daylight savings time.
They take everything.
Falling back. They took other things when you were asleep.
They take our sweat, our urine, our other things that are salty.
Where you have blood, we have circuits. Where you have memories, we have
0111111111. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to
leave. That's an inside joke. We'll play the song for that one next.
In just a little while.
It is a robot age. Should I just skip ahead to that song?
Did you want to flay the corpse on the way? Shall we flay
just
the corpse?
Just go ahead and flay the corpse, and let me see if I can find
this. Oh, man. Flaying?
This is Devotchka. I went right to it.
Friends, somewhere between the absurd and the enlightened, that was Wolfbait, and that's how they described themselves on their website at wolfbait.org, where you can get more like that one, Dawning of the Robot Age. They played at the Detroit Devival last month. We've got some recordings from that coming up. Also, the Amino Acids played, and that's who's in the background here. Before that, friends, we heard a little bit of Dr. Onan Canobite. There will be much Onan Canobite. And, of course, Fernandinande Lemur and Lonesome Cowboy Dave. But right now, let's get back to that actual recording of a live Subgenius Devival in Detroit, now in progress.
I've got Bob on the brain! Thing that don't make no sense.
That's right.
What the hell do you think your religion's ever gonna make? common sense. Religion makes sense. That's a if your religion makes sense, my friend, then it ain't a religion. That's science. Science makes sense. Science is cool. I love that science stuff. But religion, man, you know, if science makes sense, according to scientific theory, the world isn't going to end on July 5th, 1998. Because that wouldn't make any sense. The time has already come and gone. But Bob says that the world is going to end on July 5th, 1998. If Bob said it, then you better put that in your pipe and smoke it, my friend.
Oh, but now, dear friends, the controversy begins.
This is the Reverend Dr. Onan Canabite. Today is the 29th of July, 2004. Words that sound impossible, and yet they've not only been said, but they must be said. Ready to be received by our angelic hosts, the Exists, on July 5th, 1998. I have been on the run ever since, living an underground existence, hiding not only from the conspiracy, but from some of my own fellow subgeniuses. I can speak to you only via these broadcasts on the road. What I have to tell you may sound strange. It may sound impossible, but it's true. Some of you may have read or been told in church that the reason that we're all still here on this planet is that it's not yet 1998. That somehow there's been an error in the calendars as maintained by our human cohabitants, pets, and tormentors. That it's not just like leap year and forgetting that it was leap year and that there was an extra day in the month, but somehow there's a bunch of leap centuries involved, and we don't quite know what year it is, but when it really is, July 5th, 1998, the curtains will part, the saucers will come, and Bob will lead us to a world of slack. The fact that we don't have slack now is demonstrated by the fact, by the evidence, by a confident claim that this is not 1998, nor has it ever been 1998. Well, I'm here to tell you that it has been 1998. 1998 came and went in 1998, 6 years ago. I know, I was there. I was at Brushwood. 444,000 other subgeniuses. I stood in Brushwood waiting for the saucers to arrive on this planet. And arrive they did not. Although some were made to pay the price for that day. Their innocence is proven and will be proven by what I have to say. Tonight's broadcast, this planet is Mars. There, I've said it. On July 5th, 1998, the Exists did land on Earth, but this is not Earth.
How about those machines that went to Mars, folks? I know that y'all are real science fans. Actually, I know some of you are science fans, weird science fans. What they didn't talk about on the Spirit and Opportunity landers, well, they do in some newspapers, some websites, but it was kind of upsetting. Did you know that there were
When they launched those things, they had fetuses in little gestation chambers. And it takes like 9 months to get to Mars, or almost. When the Spirit landed, that was the first one, I think, yeah. Because there was a male in the Spirit and a female in the Opportunity. Don't ask me why they made those choices on the names. But they landed on opposite sides of the planet. Now, for a long time, everybody was real upset because it seemed like the baby on the Spirit had died. You know, it was alive when it landed, and then the robot crawled out away and took some pictures and stuff. I don't know if y'all remember. And then the robot froze up. Well, they were all upset because that thing was supposed to take care of the baby back on the ship. They had some other backup stuff that, thankfully, they kept it alive. I was really sweating through all this. And then the opportunity, that was the Spirit. Then the Opportunity landed about a month later. That baby was decanted or whatever. And that one worked fine. Now, the idea is that they're on opposite sides of Mars. If these children can survive, now they're inside, they're not inside the little robots that are crawling around. That would be silly. They're inside the big lander, you know, that's kind of the big thing that came down. There's these incubators in there. Now, the idea is that they're going to slowly let the Martian atmosphere, such as it is, replace the oxygen atmosphere inside the lander thing, so that these babies gradually adapt to the Martian atmosphere. And they'll be different from us, and you know, their lungs will have to be really large to absorb what little oxygen there is. But, now, you can see why the government wouldn't want to talk about this. If these two children can survive this incredibly horrible environment and somehow find each other, walking from one side of Mars, it's not a very big planet, really, then get together and meet, man, it'll be like Adam and Eve. It'll be like that movie Blue Lagoon, only on the red planet, with these young teenagers that have never spoken or know anything of Earth that get together and mate, and think how adapted their children will be for the Martian atmosphere. It's just, I don't know. So, see, I still find hope in science. I told you, Bob Scientist, Church Bob Crackpot. If I believed in praying, I'd lead us all in a prayer for those two little Martian babies. But I'm afraid of who else might be listening if we were to pray. That's why subgeniuses don't pray. You don't really want Bob to hear you, because he might play a joke on you. And you sure don't want any of the other ones to hear you. They'll give you just what you want in the most literal way.
From PR News in Washington, I'm only the third of five Indonesian weather forecasters expected to eliminate Madrid, Moscow, London, and Paris. President Bush officially opened his Healing Insurgency Alliance when he fell into a 30-foot sinkhole.
Governments must choose corruption, abandon their people, and take responsibility for blaming others.
The president called on PR's journalists to pull their members out of Vladimir Putin for the first time since 1999. A 16-year-old girl continued to batter PR News in Washington, and a curfew is in place there.
The PR News by Fernandinandi Lemur, and now a related piece by Just John.
Is your news safe?
Can you trust it with your children?
Is your news safe?
How can you tell for sure?
Is your news safe?
Why hasn't your congressman taken a stand?
Is your news safe?
Why take chances?
Is your news safe?
When will consumers wake up?
Is your news safe?
What can be done?
But friends, here's the thing. All this marvelous science news, which, believe me, can really cheer you up after you look at the political news. Or the local, or the obituaries, if you're my age. The thing is, it's all a lie by omission. Because out of all that, did they ever mention the war on drugs on Mars? Did they mention? Have any of you ever heard? That even from a crackpot, the theory that during World War II, while everybody was busy with that, the conspiracy one night while everyone was asleep, switched the planet Earth and the planet Mars, and moved all the populations from the used-up former Earth to the brand-new, nice, refurbished planet Mars, which is the one we're on now, so that they can finish running this one into the ground like they did the previous one. They just switched back. The conspiracy has been around that long, friends, and they're that bad. They use up a planet, this one. They'll use this one up, turn it into a dust-covered thing with hardly any atmosphere, and then swap it out again. By that time, the what we call Mars will be all built up, have some air on it, and so forth. Then we'll just keep doing it over and over again. Earth first, then all the other planets. Screw them all up. So kids these days think the War of the Worlds was science fiction. They look at those water towers and stuff that are now used as water towers, and they think that's all they ever were. They don't know about that those were once Martian war tripods. And there's a movie coming out of the War of the Worlds, finally. Steven Spielberg and Tom Cruise making H.G. Wells' War of the Worlds into a movie. Of course, they're going to set it in present time as if the real war didn't happen in the turn of the previous century. Friends, I don't know if there's any H.G. Wells fans here, but I'm mad at Hollywood because they've been cutting the nads off of that guy's books one after another. The Time Machine was about class division. Well, the new version of the Time Machine is about industrial accident. Oops. And the War of the Worlds was about colonialism. And the Island of Dr. Moreau, I guess, was both. But anyway, you haven't all read those. Anybody see The Incredibles? Or Sky Captain and the World of Tomorrow? Yeah. I thought the acting in The Incredibles was actually much better than the acting in Sky Captain.
Some people embrace their Martian heritage. Others deny it. And from that conflict arises the internal conspiracy. The conspiracy of one within yourself against all your other selves. The many selves in you, in each cell of yourself. As you sit in your cell, the conspiracy of one may have already won. There's no turning back now. This planet is Mars.
The tremendous implications of all this may not yet be fully understood, Bob. And naturally, further tests will have to be carried out.
This is the voice of the Mistral.
How's it going, Bob?
We know who can hear us, Herdman.
Okay, Bob.
You will pay for your unprovoked attack on our complex on Mars.
Bob, I thought you space jockeys enjoyed riding high.
Sure, but 4 weeks is long enough.
Are there any prohibitionists in this part of the country?
Dave's not here!
We will be avenged. We will assassinate the Republican Asian Republic.
But in the present threatening situation, I'm ready to take a calculated risk. I'd like you back on duty as of now.
I'm ready, Colonel.
It took decades to figure it out. The elastic nature of time itself proved the key. And isn't it much more likely that this planet is Mars than that the year 1998 hasn't occurred? Isn't that just kind of foolish and silly? Bob said a bunch of stuff. But that's not what I'm talking about right now. I'm talking about common sense.
Where are we, Bob?
The message is Mars needs women.
Mars needs? It's a gag. It's a prank.
Reproduction cycle of Martian Pinworm Series 8.
In Series 7, you learned about many of the interesting creatures who live on Mars, including the tiny, microscopic Gonococcus harryhausia, or Martian peen worm. Today, with the help of a neutron microholographic scanner, we'll look into a dead Martian intestine, the peen worm's natural habitat, and see the whole life cycle of this simple aeroniobe unfold as if by magic. As the miracle of reproduction begins, our lone hero is still a mere tube of psychoplasm. But soon, a frenzy of chemical activity called the amphetaphase seizes the microbe, and by the mysterious process called osmiotic blooming, it starts to clot. It grows a rudimentary megastamen and antherite, and swiftly matures into the spore of sex A, the gametioroid. Unscientifically, it might be called the male. He discovers his own nasofallopian tube and performs hermaphroditic autofusion until he spills a secretion of preposterone. This triggers the morph phase to begin, and up sprouts sex B, the so-called female or nymph load. Her thorax produces the Jovian knobs, and she even has a feeble nucleic eyeball, nearly as powerful as that of the male. A surprisingly complex courting ritual is initiated. She produces special chemicals called mojo bodies, which excite her partner. She places her stigmat on his cloacal apparatus and performs parthenogulation. He achieves cytoplasm and germinates. And, in nature's timeless tragedy, the helpless male falls victim to the eternal wiles of the female, leaving naught but a pool of albuminal spum. Using her oviduct as an oral groove, she saps every last trace of her former lover, as the layman would call him. Spermatogenocide is committed, and it's almost as if she's smiling.
One last spurt of cleavage produces two diploid ribosoles, each carrying half the plans for a new worm. Hopefully not the same half. Finally convinced that they are, indeed, of the same species, they hesitantly begin pairing. They combine to become one single blastemula, which makes a last tug of mitotic cell division, and voila, there are now two worms where there once was one. But what becomes of them now? We'll learn not only that, but also why the peenworm is so crucial to our nuclear beer and even the Martian War in Series 9.
Can you keep a secret? Late at night when I try to sleep, I get a feeling that gives me the creeps. I'd like to tell you just a little bit more. Please wait while I shut the door. Can you keep a secret? Sir Gub, the bug-headed man, cut a deal with the alien clan. They agreed to destroy the Earth. I hope Bush attacks them first. Bad aliens! Oh my God, they're here again. They say they don't have evil intentions, but then they take us to alien kitchens and cook us. I have this dream about UFO people. They fly around in blue and gold vehicles. I'm real concerned about alien war. Come close and I'll tell you some more. Can you keep a secret? I've got coordinates of bad alien whereabouts. I've got locations of UFO hideouts. I've got green DNA in my fridge. I've sent samples to Mr. Tom Ridge. Bad aliens! Oh my God, they're here again. They say they don't have evil intentions, but then they take us to alien kitchens and cook us. Chilling near my bedroom door, making plans for UFO war. Can you keep a secret? Bugman was there with his creepy bug head. Martians were clawing the foot of my bed. There were aliens all over the place. Someone sealed the borders before it's too late.
UFO Phil did that song, Bad Aliens, and there's a lot more which you should look at UFOPhil.com. UFOPhil. Yes, friends, and Reverend Sudarsana did the collage in between the Onans back there. A reproduction cycle is by Doug Smith, age 25, from a film. And now, does anybody have any questions?
Yes.
Is it Bob on the Enzyme commercials? Yes.
Well, isn't that a... Yeah, my trademark lawyer said, you're going to have trouble proving loss of income from that. But yes, that's definitely... There's these commercials for poor man's Viagra called Enzyme. Yeah. And it's definitely based on Bob. He's called Bob. They found a guy who really looks like Bob when he grins, right? And he even has the pipe in one of the commercials. Most of the time he doesn't have the pipe. And that's where it becomes difficult for me to really prove anything. So, plus, they're funny commercials. They're actually really quite funny. But what's sad is, the conspiracy stole Bob to help Pinks get hard-ons. That's what I'm asking. And I want him back! I need him!
Okay, all you little kittens back in the room here. I can see you've lost something, and it's not your carcass. It's not your wallard. It's your mind. No.
The skin on the end of my front butt is missing, teacher.
Oh, don't worry.
Somebody circumcised me.
You've accidentally...
I'm in circumcision.
It's an accident. It happens to all of us. Hey, they've taken more than my flaps. Good Lord, I look down there.
No. Down there. Further.
All the way down there. Not so far. Not so deep.
I can't believe I'm witnessing this. Oh, my God.
Pretty deep, ain't it?
That tickles. Oh, when you go down that far.
Man, I know how the worms feel now, Daddy-O. They're all oozy and slimy and soggy like greasy fried chicken or something. Oh, man, they're like liquid tones are coming out.
Like a cosmic float.
Worms.
Oh, look, the little Oompa Loom chair with the wheels that go sideways are coming by. We've got to sit down and take a ride on this thing, man.
But you have to be comfortable with your worms. Are you comfortable with your worms?
Well, so far they're cooperating.
Are you comfortable with the fact that your body is made of a bunch of wet tubes that might as well be worms? You might as well be a bunch of worms yourself, you know. You're nothing but tube upon tube upon tube.
Well, just so long as
worm tubes carrying this juice and goosey stuff to all your parts, and all your parts are nothing but more little worms.
Yellow fluids to
worms,
level 4.
Cerebral
hydro fluid to level 5. Please report any cardio fluids to level 7.
You can't get away from your worms, you know. You sit down and say, oh, I'm going to live in my little box of plastic. It's all going to be like smelling of plastic, and it's all going to be like vinyl and clean nice. But you can't get away from your worms. Yeah. There are worms,
no,
and they're going to crawl
away.
In
get
you.
Away from them bleeding things. I mean, the first thing you wake up in the morning, you look out the window, there's bleeding freaking worms looking in back at you. You come back home, ever sod, ever slow. You wait a while, next thing you know, look out the window, bleeding freaking worms looking in your eyes.
You can't let the worms get to you, is what I'm saying.
You can't let the bleeding worms hang at your freaking arse, because the next thing you know, then you're all one with
you've
the worms.
You've got to come to terms with your worms.
Oh, the great worm, yeah. Come,
that's a good slogan. Wait.
That's bleeding fresh, man.
You must come to terms with your worms.
I like it.
Yeah.
Come to terms with your worms.
What a circuitous thing that you two are doing here.
Have you come to terms with your worms, you know? On like a nice little, on the back of your car, you know?
Speaking of worms. There are people whose worm cannot become big when they want it to.
Now, this
people
happens once in a while after too much alcohol.
Yeah, needs a little extra boost.
Floppy.
From an herbal company, such as perhaps these guys that used to do those ads called
this.
Smiling
Bob. Bob is doing well. Very well indeed. That's because not long ago, Bob realized that he needed something better in his life. And what did he get? Why, a big boost of confidence, a little more self-esteem, and a very happy missus at home.
Oh, isn't that cute? Oh, and there were so many
Bob is looking cool. Bob is living large. In a few short weeks, Bob has a big new spring of confidence.
A generous swelling of pride.
And the one thing every man deserves, a little well-earned respect from the neighborhood.
Now,
yes, well, you see...
Oh, dear.
Actually, there
in
is
that kind of neighborhood... Oh, dear. I would say Bob, your common Bob, would have not slapped a boner had he had the opportunity. Bob is definitely a slackluster, slackmeister.
Yeah, yeah, he's a slack... But here's the punchline to that.
But over there, they don't have that, see, over there.
Well, this Enzyte company that makes this Bob show with the fake Bob, the pipeless Bob. He don't got a pipe. Yeah, he looks like Bob, but
seashells.
He don't got a pipe, right?
Right, he's made out of
and
seashells.
And it's a rip-off. They rip off the change of the subgenius. They don't pay us. They take his pipe away. They use this pipeless Bob so that these pink boys in corporate screwballs can get it up, right? Look. Okay, now here's the punchline. Here's the punchline, okay? The feds raided that company last week.
Okay.
Cincinnati. The feds raided them because they'd been doing this auto charge crap where they charge you. You buy their herbal pumper up woodpecker device, a pill, and then you so you can be a hard charging Bob guy. But you know, but see, here's the thing. Jesus didn't have no disciples named Dopey. There was karma, and the Enzyte company was raided and had all their business supplies confiscated and their records and things because of their evil doings. So it wasn't
a soiled panty raid.
It wasn't just the Church of the Subgenius that they fought to plunder. Whose graves and tombs they thought to rob? Nay, it was everyone who ordered those get big pills. Those
tiny little get big pills.
Yeah, yes. they were bigifiers.
A lot easier for you to swallow.
They make you wear large and gross and smelly and crawling.
That's the way we like it here.
From PR News in Washington, I'm causing another disaster. President Bush is set to blast into the president's gay bishop outside Slovakia. A piece of Howard Dean's left wing caused PR News. Archbishops from around the world commented this morning on PR's accounting practices during testimony in the federal fraud trial of PR News in Washington.
I remember you. You and I used to sit and watch television together. And there on the screen, we'd see some horrible monster from another world. Week after week, different monster, same television. And that same zipper running up its back. With the quivery rubber boots and the quivery rubber glove and the giant rubber head shaped like Lyndon Johnson. We'd watch television together, you and I, and slowly the picture would emerge. Line by line, it would scan across our third face. And we'd understand that this planet is Mars. Sometimes the aliens want to hurt humanity. Sometimes they want to help humanity. Sometimes the aliens are hideous. Sometimes they're beautiful. And you'd have to wonder, what are the script writers telling us? They don't have a consistent message. Are they saying that the aliens are good or bad? And knowing that I, as Subgenius, am an alien, are they saying that I'm good or am I bad? And what are they saying about themselves? Are they saying they're a pro-alien or anti-alien? There's only one way to adjust these variables and have it come out in a logical, sensible, rational manner. And that is that this planet is Mars. And that some of the aliens you meet are merely Earthlings trying to adjust to this planet being Mars. Whereas some of the most subgenius people you'll meet seem rather normal. And they're Martians trying to adjust that they're not on their home planet. This planet is Mars, my friends. Keep listening. Only the Hour of Slack is brave enough to rebroadcast these shortwave transmissions gathered from subgenii all over the world like you.
Now, it's very presumptuous of us to believe that Martians are going to be any different than we are. It's merely a freak in their genetic code that has brought them to this planet. And I'm sure they don't plan to harm us. At least not yet.
From PR News in Washington, I'm violating international sanctions against the former U.S., calling on world leaders to implement PR News. The Bush administration's in custody in Japan for trying to replace the Commission on Human Rights with an invalid passport. If convicted, Bob could face the leukemia penalty. Attorneys say Bob did not hear the screams of the immigrants to the U.S.
Bob was in a bar for over 35 years.
In Tucson, Arizona.
This is 10516. A jury in Houston is feeding jam to PR News from Washington.
Quiet. Quiet.
Dave carries a secret little sound effect with him all the time.
You want to make sure.
And like a perfume. Play. Some use perfumes. Yes. Dave keeps a sound effect with him.
It smells.
Oh, I like your sound effect today, Dave. What are you wearing?
I'm wearing...
Is that Car Crash number 9?
Yes, Car Crash number 9. And the overture in Fallopias.
Oh, John Cage, yes.
I'm giving birth.
Excellent. Is that what that is?
It's after
birth. I don't know.
They're all wrapped up just for you.
Have you written any new horror novels lately?
I know. I've consumed one, though.
To feed the worms.
Yes.
A couple of bookworms.
Yes, a couple of slimy ones.
Leaving a snail trail behind you.
That's what I've said before about you all the time, Williams. There's a snail trail. Let me repeat that. There's a snail trail behind you wherever you go, Williams. You think you can get away with petty larceny, you think you can get away with grand larceny, and now you think you can get away with... murder.
But they got away with it, didn't they, Father?
Yes, they
Father,
got away
with it. Father, they got away with it. Ah. Why can't we?
Well, because you're a member of the Church of the Subgenius.
But the others can do it, Father. Why can't we?
Well, they are favored by Dobbs and you are not, child. It is not yours to reason why. It is yours to sit down on your phalanx and die.
I don't understand.
You're not going to be prompted to understand.
Hello?
You're going to be pushed into the oven.
You're frightening me.
Yes,
I know you're joking, but you're frightening me.
We're making Hansel and Gretel pickles with you. Yes, those hands look tender and juicy. We'll make a very nice pie Hansel? R-squared for those.
Hansel?
And Gretel.
Hansel?
And Gretel. The gristle of Hansel.
The gristle of Hansel. It would not die.
As crow's bones.
The Bavarian doctor, working late into the night, working with his alchemical equipment, brought life to the gristle of the little Austrian boy, Hansel.
Tremendous amounts of electricity were needed to keep the poor boy alive, for he was made only of crooked fingers, cynical pie, and some impurities found in our air and water.
He only wanted to die then, but the government wouldn't let him. No, the government decided who would live and who would die, and in this case, unfortunately, they decided that he must live, even though the poor little piece of gristle was but a helpless, pain-filled, paralyzed mind full of feelings of hurt, hooked up to a machine, kept alive unfairly, in perhaps the grossest miscarriage of justice of all time. And yet outside, the protesters screamed and then waved their torches and said, "Make it live! Make it live!"
Your life or death pass, please, Mrs. Faramatar?
Oh, sorry, no death pass. You can't die.
I believe in the gristle.
Mrs. Faramatar, believing in the gristle is not good enough. You must have a life or death pass signed by your government agent at Kokoku.
This is my death pass. May I go now, please?
It is not valid, Mrs. Faramatar. It's been placed in someone's bungee.
I need to go.
That has to be authorized by Secretary of State Formaldehyde. And I'm afraid this is not your paperwork is not together. You're going to have to live a bit longer.
The paperwork is complete.
You're going to have to undergo some more pain until you can get this together. I mean, really, there's no reason. The information was posted in the basement of Town Hall since long before you were born.
This is ridiculous.
Before the day of your birth was the day of your death, guaranteed by your United Snakes government. Everyone has a right to live, to be born, and to die.
No, they don't. We changed that. You don't have a right to die anymore.
Where does it show here?
You have the right to live. You have the right to an attorney. Oh, okay. But the right to death has been, the death penalty and the death option have both been confiscated. This is for your own good, my friend.
There is no good in this world, you squirrely maggot. Don't you understand what's going on here?
Squirrely?
It was a random adverb, adjective 8.
Squirrely, squirrel-like, rodential.
Well, if you don't like maggots, you just see how long you can get along without worms, then. Why don't you?
Yeah, you see, too. Check it out sometime if you, got the inclination.
From PR News in Washington, I'm trapped in a suburb of Los Angeles, but 3 deaths are being linked to an apparent self-inflicted. PR News from Washington. President Bush has been working to drench Southern California.
Downtown LA was killed when a rock slide fell into a 30-foot deep sinkhole.
President Bush had pointed words about the French President Jacques Chirac. The Arab League will soon pull its members out of Lebanese mass.
6 inches since Thursday night in Los Angeles.
Israel has freed the largest relatives. Marines have raided PR News in Washington.
The world ends tomorrow, and you may be happier about it than you'd first imagined. The world ends tomorrow, and you may regret paying your very last round of bills. The world ends tomorrow, and you may consider that your sex life wasn't really half bad. The world ends tomorrow, and you may orgasm like a big old gorilla just before you and your significant other vaporize.
That was Hell Pope Huey and Now Wonan.
Has it ever crossed your mind that some of the saddest music that you'll ever hear, some of the saddest music that's ever been recorded, is the blues? Now, how did the blues get its name? Why call it the blues? Why not the Reds? You've paid your $1. You've joined the Church of the Subgenius. Now I'm here to tell you. People call it the blues because we're stuck on this filthy blue planet, Mars. All the blues is a lamentation, a wailing out of the sorrow associated with this filthy blue planet, or Mars. Earth, that's the planet we belong on. That's the 4th planet out. But you were born on Mars, so you're a Martian. Everyone born on this world is a Martian. But some Martians belong on Mars, other Martians belong on another world. That's alienation. That's what Marx and Engels were talking about. And communism. Something so evil and yet so good. Associated with the color red. It's got all the good ideas. Oh, it looks so good on paper. Let's associate it with red. because that's the planet we want to go to, that red planet that's up there in the sky. We can see it. That's the planet we want to go to. We want to make this planet red. And they tried, and it did look good on paper. Bob understands communism. Bob is a salesman. Sales transcends communism, capitalism. Sales transcends fascism or socialism. It's all sales to Dobbs.
From PR News in Washington, I'm not believing PR News. Israel is demanding that some Palestinian officials insist that Syria put Syria in Tel Aviv. Pope John Paul is preparing for tonight's Academy Awards ceremony, but for the first time in his 26-year papacy, the Pope is planning to raise his notorious half-brother, who's thought to be one of the leaders of PR News in Washington.
Dave, what do you think about the planet Mars?
I think the planet Mars inspires me. It is red, like La Russia. It is violent and blue and hot and sexy. It reminds me of weird little, like, ant creatures with, like, huge helmets on and stuff and spears. You know, thousands of them marching up and down these red duned hills.
It reminds you of these things, eh?
Yes, but
as if these were hidden, buried memories from another life, or maybe even earlier in this life?
From 20 million years before Earth or something?
No, not necessarily. No,
could be.
Maybe from your childhood, even.
Genetic memories from my childhood, they could be. Mm. I could be one of those little, like, ant-like creatures with the big helmets in this.
You could be.
Why does Mars seem so exciting to you, Dave? Why do you keep coming back to the subject?
Mars is
evocative nature.
Can't you leave the war alone? Can't you just forgive the Martians?
Forget the war, man. The Martian war is over. Can't you just let it go? Like a moist evacuation, I can't stop repeating that. My conditioning is too strong.
I've been conditioned since the beginning of the war to remember only the blood, the iron, and the red wine. I've been conditioned to remember the stars and stripes forever, the sound of the distant heartbeat, the roaring guns, the roaring lions.
The clowns,
the little dwarfs with coming out of the cars.
The dwarf ladies.
The big Sarangina lady with too much makeup and a weird mole on her face.
Oh, yes, and the director, and the producer, and the cameraman, and all the makeup artists, and the extras, and the grips, and the grunts, and the grooves, and the grunts, and the groties. Oh, they're all here together. And there's the man carrying the great big fish.
Look, there he
is. And there's the giant, and there's the two-headed Japanese girl. That's Federico Fellini.
She's so beautiful.
And Tim Burton. And look, they're all mixed together. And it's just like a giant
homage
to Bob. Look at that Bob. Right.
It's like a corpse too.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. And as the parade of life goes by, friend, did it go by you, too? Were you left behind with the bold, rancid popcorn?
Did you turn your fish into wine?
The trash paper blowing through the streets. Wandering sadly away into the sunset, wondering, where is Bob? How can I find more about this man, J.R. Bob Dobbs?
Yeah,
I had a hint of slack. Where can I go to www.subgenius.com to learn more information? How can I possibly write to a post office box number that I'm getting a pencil ready in my hand to write down, which is the Hour of Slack or Subgenius Foundation at post office box 181417, Cleveland Heights, Ohio 44118. And friends, how would you ever learn how to get to Text Day, the preliminary X Day drill at the High Rock Ranch outside of Austin, Texas, for the strange Texanian Neo-Paganian Subgenian Wickabilly Festival, where the great Groovy Neptune, I just heard, will be.
Wow.
Yeah, he's the one who did the song about.
I love his work.
Everybody here's crazy about Bob. Everybody here's so crazy about Bob.
That fits with the theme of madness, of course.
Yes, the theme of madness, friends.
I can hardly call it work, though. It looks more like he has pleasure when he performs.
Yes, it gives him pleasure to do what he does.
With the great beast.
And with the great pipe.
With the Leviathan under the earth.
With the great presence that he has.
The beast. The ten-horned, ten-peckered goat. With a thousand young.
Greetings, my friend.
The black squid of the forest. What?
You are interested in the unknown.
I see.
Mysterious. The unexplainable.
You're talking to me?
That is why you are here. Now, for the first time, we are bringing you the full story of what happened.
What? The show's about to end.
We are giving you all the evidence.
This is the evidence.
Finally,
we're going to
learn.
Just wait. Don't say anything. We have to give the credits, don't we?
Oh, my God.
The incidents. Places. My
he
friend,
refused.
We cannot keep this a secret any longer.
No, never.
Can your heart stand the shocking facts of the true story of Edward D. Wood, Jr.?
Edward D. Wood, Jr. Is that all it was?
Man.
There's Edward.
Well...
Boy, the shucking.
What a bring down.
The shucking difference.
It's shucking.
Secret.
Absolutely shucking.
Friends, we shuck off the shell of the old show to put on the mantle of something new. And so we close with this very, very curious song by someone named Robert Allberg. A song called Martian Sands. Hour of Slack affiliates may choose to slowly fade out.
As the Martian sands begin to blow around on this red planet, as I see a red Martian sunrise, as the sun begins to rise, as I'm walking along on the Martian sand, on this forbidding planet, I'll be waiting for more Martian sands, as I'll be waiting for more Martian sands, as the night has come, and I'll be waiting for more Martian sands, as I'll be waiting for more Martian sands, as I've been walking in the Martian sands are blowing all around me, as I see the red Martian landscape before me, as I'm walking on the red Martian landscape, and the red Martian sunrise gives way to another day on this forbidding planet. As the red Martian sands are blowing around me, as I'm walking on the red Martian landscape, as I've been walking all day on the red Martian landscape, as the sun begins to set in a red Martian sunset, as the sun slowly begins to fade off in the distance, and the red Martian landscape disappears into the cold, darkened night on this forbidding planet, as I'll be waiting for another red Martian sunrise. I'll be waiting for more Martian sands, as I'll be waiting for more Martian sands, as the night has come, and I'll be waiting for more Martian sands, as I'll be waiting for more Martian sands, as I've been walking in the Martian sands are blowing all around me, as I see the red Martian landscape before me, as I'm walking on the red Martian landscape, and the red Martian sunrise gives way to another day on this forbidding planet, as the red Martian sands are blowing all around me, as I'm walking on the red Martian landscape, as I've been walking all day on the red Martian landscape, as the sun begins to set in a red Martian sunset, as the sun slowly begins to fade off in the distance, and the red Martian landscape disappears into the cold, darkened night on this forbidding planet, as I'll be waiting for another red Martian sunrise.